From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. You are kind indeed. Thank you. We do have a great show for you this week. We've got stand-up Jesse Klein coming by to play Not My Job. But first, CNN did a poll recently. They asked Americans, out of all the money in the federal budget, how much do they think goes to public broadcasting? And the average response was 5%, 5% of the federal budget. That's true, and that would amount to about $175 billion. To which we say, busted! It's true. That's why instead of flying in Carl every week to do our show, we can afford to clone a new Carl. So what do you think of the world, new Carl?
It's so shiny.
And you might ask, well, what then do we do with all the old Carls? Well, everybody, I want you to look under your chairs. That's right. You get a Carl, and you get a Carl, and you get a Carl. If you'd like to play our games, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're in Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard from Jackson, Wyoming.
Benjamin Bombard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, gosh, you sound like the hero of like a 1940s movie serial. That's so great. The Adventures of Benjamin Bombard, Sky Captain. That's totally great. What do you do? Tell me you hunt for foreign spies.
No, I hunt elk during the fall up here, but I'm a journalist.
You're a journalist?
Yes, sir.
Oh. No, I'm kidding. Well, welcome to the show, Benjamin.
Thank you.
Let me introduce you to our panel. First up, a man the New York Times called an obscure, semi-famous humorist, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Benjamin. True story.
Next, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Ms. Roxanne.
Hello, Benjamin.
And an alum of both Second City and the Colbert Report, Mr. Peter Gross.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Benjamin.
So, Benjamin, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. That means Carl Castle is going to recreate for you three quotations in the week's news, of course. Your job, identify or explain just two of them. Do that. You'll win his voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Here is your first quote.
If it comes to pass, tens of thousands of federal workers will be forced to give up their BlackBerries.
That was from the Washington Post. It was one of the many predictions about what big possible event this
week. The partial government shutdown?
Yes, indeed, the government shutdown. All week, political reporters were acting like Kremlinologists back in the 70s, looking for clues as to what was happening behind closed doors. For example, if John Boehner is seen crying, that means there's going to be a shutdown. If he's not crying, it means he's dead. And it came so close, they came within like a day of saying, no government for you, you know? It almost happened, and people didn't care. The entire federal government was almost brought to a standstill, and the American public just, you know, okay. We cared more when they were threatening to take Arrested Development off the air.
Here's the question. How can you tell they're not working?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. It's like state highway workers. How would you know? I mean, if they were on strike, they just, I guess, turn the shovels the other way up.
Yeah.
I just put up a sign, government shutdown. Please use free market today.
So members of Congress are considered essential. They would have had to work, but their staff would have had to go home. And they would have had to, like, you know, manage by themselves without staff. It would have been hard. They would have had to, like, go get their own coffee. They'd have to have illicit affairs with themselves. But what would it have been like, though, if, like, they had sent home, like, all the, you know, all the government employees and kept only the congressmen and the representatives, the senators, and they had to do all the jobs? right? Just like they do in like when like a real company goes on strike and the managers have to take over. I mean, we would have loved to see that. We would have loved to see, you know, Michelle Bachmann manning the Federal Needle Exchange Program in downtown Washington, D.C. and Harry Reid has to go be the panda at the National Zoo. It's a natural fit. He never moves either, you know.
Well, they could man those T-shirt carts out in front of the White House there. And,
yeah,
selling the souvenirs. That would work.
Ooh. What would it say? I saved $33 billion and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
So your next quote comes from a presidential campaign video that was released this week.
I don't agree with him on everything, but I respect him and I trust him.
That somewhat lackluster endorsement came from a man named Ed in North Carolina. What candidate was he talking about?
Barack Obama?
Yes, indeed. The presidential reelection campaign has begun. It's Obama 2, change harder. The president launched his first presidential campaign 4 years ago with a speech and a rally in Springfield, Illinois, in the footsteps of Abraham Lincoln. He launched his reelection campaign with a two-minute infomercial video in the footsteps of ShamWow. The president's video, in which the president hardly appears, features real people saying real things, you know, like, wow, I guess there's going to be an election, huh? And maybe we'll vote for President Obama again if there's nobody better by that time.
It'd be great if Obama announced the same way that he did before. He was like, we're going to change Washington. I'm going to go down there and change all the rules. And everyone's like, it's your rules, dude. What are you doing?
The problem for Obama is he has to declare his candidacy in order to raise money, but it's too early to be in full campaign mode for the president. And besides, he's ambivalent about running again. And who can blame him? He's probably thinking, man, sometimes I wish I was born in Kenya.
He's going to plant a false birth certificate.
Yeah, really? No, seriously, I'm not qualified. Wasn't born here. Sorry.
Yeah.
I would
Can't
love
run again.
I'd love to serve, but what can you do?
Exactly. Benjamin, your last quote comes from a passenger on a Southwest flight last week.
I didn't know this dude, but I was like, I'm going to just hold your hand.
What made that passenger suddenly want to hold the dude's hand next to her?
A hole in the airplane?
Exactly right. So you're flying Albuquerque, Phoenix maybe, to Sacramento, I think it was, and there's a bump. No problem, that happens. And then a huge hole opens in the ceiling of the plane. But still, not a problem, fresh air, you know, and you were having trouble getting that little sort of air nozzle thing to work anyway, so...
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
God, when I flew in here this week, I thought, wow, this is great. You know, just cruising in Chicago, pilot puts the top down, you know.
It was cool.
Nice spring day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My plane had a T-top. It was great.
This is more of a moonroof. The pilot was typically cool about the whole thing, as pilots are, you know, very Captain Sully. It's like, those on the right of the plane can see the Grand Canyon. Those on the left can see the majesty of space above you. Apparently, one of the causes of the rupture is Southwest policies. They fly a lot of short trips over and over again. That tends to wear out the planes, also requiring the passengers to help pedal constress the fuselage. But true to their rambunctious style, they're working this into their marketing. Their new slogan is, you are now free to move about the sky.
Maybe if they charge for bags, they could buy a working roof.
I would do that. They'd be like, well, you can either, your bags can fly for free and the top will fly off the plane, or you can pay $50 and you can make it safely.
Let me check my balance on my credit card.
You know.
I have enough.
But there's all the stuff, you know, the overhead compartments. So did those overhead compartments stay intact? Or
apparently the masks did come down.
Yeah.
So 300 people were like, damn, I wish I'd paid attention.
What do you do? Yeah.
What do you do with this?
Right. Why the hot water bottles?
Yeah. Carl, how did Benjamin do in our quiz?
Perfect game, Peter. 3 correct answers. So, Benjamin, I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Woohoo!
Well done. Thanks so much for playing, Benjamin.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Take care.